Getting a few minutes head start this morning, but that doesn't mean that I get all the extra time. So hopefully I'll be able to get you out of here on time. I want to use about three different portions of Scripture. I want to read you a different one, though, that I had to go look up real quick after I had the meeting with the deacons this morning, because it was one that I thought was important. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, said this: "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many," I lost my place here, "mighty, not many noble are called." Now, I want you to think about that a minute. He said, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught those that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. My text this morning, if I have one, is, "They will not believe me." They will not believe me. One of the things that I think that any preacher always hopes is that people will believe him. But the truth of the matter is that if we are honest about it, we know that there are many people who will not believe us. And it doesn't make any difference how much of the Word of the Lord that we may read or how much we may preach, they're still not going to believe it. That's a fact of life, and we need to understand that. In the Old Testament, one of the greatest leaders of the people of God was a man who came from a background that was as unusual as could be, and probably would have been, if you were choosing leadership, been one of the last men that would have been chosen to become such a great leader. The Bible very clearly teaches that God does not look on the outward appearance, but He looks on the heart. And He also teaches in His Word that His ways are as high as the heaven above the earth from our ways, and His thoughts from our thoughts. And so God does not always work the way that we think He should, or the way that we want Him to, but He knows exactly what He's doing. I believe that. I've asked Him many, many times, and I still ask Him today, "Why in the world would you call someone like me to preach the Word?" Now, there have been a lot of other people who've asked that same question, but with a lot different thought in mind than what I have. But I can tell you this morning that I still am amazed at how God works and what He's able to do. And if there's anybody that can stand this morning and can say convincingly that I know God can perform miracles, I can say that, because it truly is a miracle to how He's able to take someone like me and help His Word to go forth. This fella, in the Word of the Lord, had grown up. First of all, he had all kinds of problems when he was born, and he shouldn't have lived, but he did, and he lived to a ripe old age. But the Lord, after that, he was a grown man. As a matter of fact, when he was 80 years old, the Lord called him to lead His people up out of the land of Egypt. And when the Lord called unto Moses and spoke unto him and told him that he had heard the cries of his people had finally reached that point to where they were in Egypt because of disobedience. They were in Egypt because of a lack of faith on the part of their forefathers. And they'd been there for a lot of years. They'd experienced a lot of things while they were down there. Had a lot of trouble while they were. But finally it got so bad that after they had tried everything else, they tried the Lord. And that's no different than what people still do today. I find that many times people will try everything under the sun to solve their problems, to take care of their ills or whatever, and then finally, when everything else has failed, they've tried the Lord, who had the answer and the remedy in the first place, if we would just have allowed Him to have been first instead of last. But nevertheless, these people, they begin to get serious about getting out of Egypt, and they begin to call upon the Lord. And the Bible says that the Lord heard their cries, and He answered, and He went and chose this man by the name of Moses. And he came to Moses as he was out here herding his father-in-law's herd of sheep, and he came to him and spoke to him and said, "This is what I'm going to have you to do." And Moses, after that the Lord had told him, and Moses answered and said, I'm reading from the fourth chapter of the book of Exodus, first verse. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." Moses said, "Lord, you're telling me what you're going to do. You're telling me what you're going to have me to do out here. These people aren't going to believe me." Now, let me tell you something this morning. It is not critical whether you believe me or not. I would love for you to believe me, but it is not critical. But what is critical is whether or not you believe what thus saith the Lord God. My responsibility, as I've told you many times in the past, is to preach to you the word of the Lord, to preach what thus saith the Lord. I insert many times my opinions, my thoughts, my beliefs, and those are immaterial in comparison to what thus saith the Lord. And that's why it's important that you read the Word, that you study the Word, and that you allow God to speak to you through the Holy Spirit and through His Word, that you can know and that you can understand. Moses said, "Well, Lord, those people aren't going to believe me. They're not going to believe me. They're not going to think that you've appeared unto me." And the Lord said unto him, "What is that in thine hand?" How many of you, is anybody here? Some of you have, I know, here have heard me use that as a text. "What is that in thine hand?" Nobody? I thought, sure, there's two or three. Yeah, you just had to be reminded, I guess, of it. Some of the rest of you probably heard it and don't remember. But that's okay, too. But it's a good text because I can take you through a number of people in the Word of the Lord. And the whole point is to demonstrate that if we will take what God has given us and we will use it as He instructs us to use it, we can accomplish many things through Him. And I use Moses, "What is that in thine hand?" Jephthah, "What is that in thine hand?" Samson, "What is that in thy hand?" And go right on through and just list you a whole number of them. And how that God took them and used them with what they had available to them. But in this illustration, God is going to prove to Moses that He is God and that He is all power in heaven and earth. "What is that in thy hand?" And Moses said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth thy hand and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand and caught it and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, "Put now thy hand into thy bosom." And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, "Put thine hand into thy bosom again." And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as other flesh. You know, there's some things that we just simply cannot do. There's some things that are impossible for us as man to be able to do. And God doesn't ask us to do those things. God takes care of those. There are some things that we can do. There are some things that we are expected to do. And there are some things that we cannot do by ourselves, but we can do with His help. I'm always reminded when I say that, and Al isn't here, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind if I share. Al Green, whenever he acknowledged his call to preach, and I remember being there at the service, he got up during a revival meeting and acknowledged that he had been called to preach. And he said, I'd thought about this before I got up at this service and announced that, you know, quite the opposite of what my case was. Because I'd never in my wildest dream thought I was going to tell the night I told mine. I guarantee you. Been the last thing in the world I thought I was going to do. But anyway, back to Al. He said, you know, I thought I'm going to get up and tell that I've been called to preach. And then he said, and I'm going to say, and I can't do it. And he said, I could just see preacher Jim Pulley, who was the evangelist. He was a big guy. He said, I could just see him whenever I told that I'd been called to preach and that I couldn't do it, that old Jim would come across there and he'd come over to me and either hug me or shake my hand and say, of course you can. Of course you can. And Al says, I got up and I told that I'd been called to preach. And he said, I was blubbering and everything. And he said, sure enough, here come Jim Pulley across there, just as big as me, came right over to him. And he said, of course you can't. Yeah. He said, but the Lord can through you. Yeah, now there was the answer. See, he said, of course you can't, but the Lord can through you. And Al said, I've never forgotten that, because what I was expecting was to get those words that, good boy, you can do it. Let me tell you something. Too many times we want to do things ourselves. Too many times we want to try to do things without the Lord's help. And I will guarantee you we'll fail most of the time. What we need is to understand that with God's help, we can do the things that are our responsibility to do. Moses, what is that in thy hand? A rod? Cast it on the ground and became a serpent. And the Bible says that Moses fled from the presence of it. But you know what the Lord said? He said, you reach down and you take it by the tail. How many of you here catch snakes? You don't catch him by the tail. Now, I don't have to ask Mendenhall whether or not he catches them or not. He's going to catch him by the tail or the head. He's going to be like Moses. He's going to flee. He's not the only one. But listen, there was a reason that God told him to reach down and to take it by the tail. And I'm not going to go into all that this morning. I don't have time. But he reached down and he took it by the tail and it became a rod in his hand again. And he was going to use that rod. That was going to become a symbol in time to come that people would identify with Moses. And it was going to be something that was going to be important in his walk as he continued to lead the people. Take your hand and put it in your bosom. Put it in his bosom and it came out and it was leprosy. Leprous. Nah, you can't do that. Not a one of us. Listen, sometimes God used miraculous things to prove to us. I just did a service Friday, and I'll share this. I'm not sure, you know, just how I feel about it yet. But the daughter of the deceased came to me after the service, and she said, I want to share with you what happened when my daddy died. She called him her daddy. And she's whooping years. He was 91. Anyway, she says, I want to tell you what happened when my daddy died. And I told her, I says, first of all, let me stop you right there. I'm glad to hear you call him daddy. That's what mine always was to me. I always called him daddy. And Shirley used to say, you can't call your dad daddy. You're a grown man. He's your dad. Oh, he's always my daddy. And he still is today. But anyway, she said, I was there and my daughter was there with me when he died. And I went up to him and I said, Daddy, it's okay. It's okay to go on. And she said, that quick he was gone. But she said, I saw four angels around his bed, one on each corner. and two at the back who never said a thing, back of the room. But when his last breath was taken, they took him away. Now, I don't know how I feel about that, but I know how she felt about it. And you know, I'm a somewhat of a skeptic, but I said, you know what, I'll tell you this. I said, not long ago, I said to the church that I believe in guardian angels, and I've got more than one, because it takes more than one to take care of me. But that's very possible. Now, how did I work? What did that come in here? Well, first of all, we need to understand that sometimes God does things in ways that are beyond our comprehension. Yeah. I don't know everything about how God works in other people's lives and what experiences they have, what you have, and you don't know what mine are. But let me tell you something. God is able to do some things that are impossible for us to do. It is impossible for you to take your hand and put it up to your bosom and bring it out and it have leprosy and turn around and put it back in there again and come out and it's all perfect. Can't do it. I don't care who you are. You can tell me whatever you want to. I won't believe you. God can do that, but not you, not me. Anyway, God said, I'm going to prove to you that I am God, and when I send you down there, I want you to be convinced that you are going because I've sent you. One of the things that I learned so many years ago was that it doesn't make any difference whether people think I was called a priest or not. I know I was called a priest, just like I know the Lord saved my soul. Sure. I'm like Moses. I want people to believe me, but I know just as sure as I'm standing here that there are a lot of them who don't, never have, and never will. But that's all right. I want them to believe God. Moses, you go down there. So Moses, here, and I'm going to skip real quick, because I want you to remember what Moses said. Lord, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say the Lord has not appeared unto thee. Did it come to pass? Absolutely. Just as Moses said. He got out there with these people. He had been leading them. He had demonstrated that God was leading him and that he was following the Lord and everything. And yet when they got out there on the journey, there was some of them who said, well, you know what? The Lord didn't speak to this old boy. We've been misled. We've been misdirected. We're out here. We're worse off now than if we'd have stayed down there in Egypt. Let's turn around and go back. When I came here several years ago, one of the first things I said to this church, and I said to the church of Wheeling, I did not come back here to be trouble to you. I did not come back here to cause you grief. There's already enough trouble and there's already enough grief in this world that I don't need to add to it. I didn't come back here to hurt you. I came back here to help you. And that was exactly what I meant. And I still mean that today. But let me tell you something. Those people out there in the wilderness, they said, let's get us somebody else. Is Moses the only one that the Lord spoke to? Oh, no. He spoke to some of the rest of them, too. I want you to know God set them straight pretty quick. It didn't take him long to get them back on the straight and the narrow. Anyway, Moses said, they're not going to believe me. And now then, after that, God has demonstrated to Moses that truly he is going to send him and that he is going to lead those people up out of the land of Egypt. Then Moses comes up with something else, which all of us are typical of. Lord, I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified. I can't do the job. First of all, you know, Lord, they're not going to believe me. They're not going to believe me. And then second, I'm not able to speak well enough to get the message across. One of the things that I've learned over the years is that God doesn't call some of the best speakers to preach His word. Some preachers are a little hard to follow. Some preachers have mannerisms that are distracting to me when I watch them or as I listen to them. Some of them, I can close my eyes and listen to them. I'm okay. But when I open my eyes, I'm lost. And some of you are going to say, oh, I understand that. That's the way you are. That's okay. If you sit there with your eyes closed and you're listening, that's one thing. If you're sitting there, your eyes are closed and you're asleep, that's another thing. I may not be able to tell the difference. But let me tell you something. What is important is that we understand that God never calls a man to preach the gospel that he can't qualify. I believe that with everything there is about me. He may not qualify to your standard or to my standard, but he will qualify the man to do the job. And Moses said, Lord, first of all, they're not going to believe me. And second, then, I'm not eloquent enough to speak. And it angered the Lord. See, that's alien to a lot of our people today. They don't think the Lord gets angry. Let me tell you something. You go back over in the Old Testament, I can just find you time after time after time where God is angry with the way that people do or do not do. Well, anyway, the Lord said, I'll take care of that too. I've got that all taken care of. You just do what I've asked you to do. Now listen, the Lord also then spoke to another man. And this is what he said unto him. He said, son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. I want you to listen to what he's saying to this man. You go to the house of Israel, God's chosen people, and you speak to them my word. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech, of an hard language, but to the house of Israel. God isn't going to send most of you to China to speak Chinese, because I don't know whether there's anybody here who could understand or speak Chinese. He's probably not going to send a single one of you over there. But he is going to send you in the United States of America, in Hickory County, Missouri, in the Elkton community, to carry the message of the Lord. You don't need to speak Chinese. You need to be able to speak what thus saith the Lord from your heart. Listen, he said, I'm going to send you to the house of Israel. I'm not sending you to a people of a strange speech or a hard language. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech or of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not too many people of a strange speech and of a hard language whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. How would you like to be sent that way? How would you like for the Lord to come along and say, listen, I want you to go down here, Pat. I want you to go down here. I want you to talk to somebody. I want to tell you, whenever I send you, so they're not going to do any good. Yeah. You know, well, Lord, then why should I go? They're not going to do any good. Why should I go? Well, it is going to do some good. It's going to do some good because, first of all, you're obedient unto the Lord. And second, you don't know whether it's going to results going to be. I'm not picking on Pat now. I use her as an example. But listen, he said, but surely had I sent you to them, they would have hearkened to thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken to thee, for they will not hearken unto me. Yeah, now think about that. Whenever I, as a preacher, get to that point to where I think, Lord, the people aren't paying any attention. No, I ain't going to do any good. Isn't this well? Not do it, you know. No use for me to get up there and try to preach because they aren't paying any attention anyway. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter whether that you hear what I say or not. What is important is whether or not you hear what the Lord says. And he's going to speak to you through his word and through his spirit. And that's what's going to count. But the Lord said, oh, Ezekiel, he said, you know what, I'm going to send you down to those people, and you go down there and you preach, and every time you start and you say, thus saith the Lord, this is what the Lord says. And he said, then whether they will hear or not, they will know there has been a prophet among them. Yeah. He said, they're not going to listen to you, Ezekiel, because they'll not listen to me. I'm going to go real quick, and I'm going to finish up here. Paul, writing to the young preacher, Timothy, Rodin said this, "I charge thee therefore before the Lord Jesus Christ, before God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his coming and his appearing, and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." Yeah. Are we living in that time? Absolutely. Yeah. When you go over and you begin to read, it describes to a T what people want today is not what we are offering here. Unfortunately, what people want is a feel good. Feel good. Oh, happy, happy, glory, glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Everything is all right. There are no problems in the world. God just takes care of everything, and anything I do is all right with God. Let me tell you something. They're going to be in for a rude awakening one of these days. They're going to wake up to the realization that God doesn't tolerate a lot of that nonsense, and it will be taken care of. They'll not believe me. Listen to what the Lord said to Ezekiel. He said, "Whether they hear or whether they forbear, you go down there and you preach, or you say, 'Thus saith the Lord.' And whether they then listen or not, they will know there hath been a prophet among them." That's my responsibility. It's not whether people believe. My responsibility is to preach what thus saith the Lord.